Conference Committee on House Bill 2797 at 1 p.m. in Hearing Room B of the State Capitol Building.
And the House Bill 2797 will come to order. We'll invite up Sue Hannah and Greg Wolf. Go ahead, Sue. Tell us the problem we've found.
This is Sue Hannah from Legislative Council's office. And House Bill 2797 represents an issue pertaining to local government moratoria. The Senate amended the bill with 3301, which pertained to some school issues. One of the concerns that many people have is whether the amendment made is within the relating clause and therefore constitutional. The relating clause of local government moratoria, any issue must fit within that. Therefore, if moratoria can be declared based on school issues, then the amendments are within the relating clause. There has been some discussion, and some people have been saying, well, we didn't mean that the moratoria would relate to the school district issues. We just want them to plan. Well, you can't have that gap in there. The only way you can do the planning that's called for, and I believe it's Section 6, the only way you can have it in this bill is if it's linked up to the moratoria. And we've run into a few other problems in the bill. There's a definition on page 1, the subsection 2 there. Public facilities has a definition. And then over on page 2, we talk about public facilities as defined in the statewide planning goals. And then we move on from there, and we get into page 4, a public facilities plan, which has another reference. I think we're not totally consistent. So I would suggest that you folks look at some of the decisions and where you want to go with public schools and how they fit into facilities planning, and then I can take care of the redrafting if you would like it. I think Greg Wolf probably has some comments because his staff has looked at this issue extensively and they've already been involved in some rule writing in that area.
Great. Chair Parkinson, members of the committee, Greg Wolf, Assistant Director, Department of Land Conservation Development. Our main concern with the bill as it's currently constructed is that there could be several different interpretations about what it means. You could read it to say that moratoria cannot be based on schools. In another section, you could read it to say that moratorium could be based on schools. And in another section, you could read it to mean that moratorium can be based on schools if local government determines that schools are a public facility necessary for the public health, safety, and welfare. So the first problem we see is just confusion and interpretation. And the second thing I would just say is that we have begun a rulemaking effort around the school facility question. And we actually have already convened a group task force that's comprised of kind of a cross-section of interest in that. And there are already some preliminary recommendations, and the commission is going to move to rulemaking on school facility issues, I would say, in the next 3 or 4 months.
Greg, a question. Is this discussion centering around planning?
Yes, it is.
Does it have anything to do with moratoria?
No, it does not. However, it's felt that if we get the planning consistent with the needs, that we'll be able to avoid those kinds of problems when they come up.
Sue, did you have a chance to look at this?
Representative Parkinson, I looked at that, yes. I recall.
Do you agree that these would be the decision points?
Yeah, I believe from what I remember on that looked where you should be making decisions.
Sue's passing it out.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask Mr. Wolf another question in regards to the, what his group's doing? Can you give us a little, maybe a direction as to what you perceive will come of this dialogue in regards to schools and the role they'll play in the land use process? Can you, or where you believe it will head or lead us to?
Chair Parkinson, Representative Repine, I would say that the work that's being done there would clarify how schools would be involved in the planning process. It would describe how they would be linked to the planning program at periodic review, for example, what the obligations of school districts and local government were, those two bodies, what their obligations were to coordinate their planning efforts. We actually have some draft recommendations. I don't have copies of those, but I could read some of those if you'd like.
Another question. Mm-hmm. Would you made the reference to the role that schools or education would have to play, would play under these administrative rules. I'm assuming that in some regard there would be there's a cost implication that might come along with that in the role of their efforts in planning for educational needs. Would that be correct?
Chair Barnes, Representative Repine, I would say there will be a cost to local government in updating the plans. However, at periodic review, you have jurisdictions going through a fairly extensive planning process where they're dealing with a lot of different questions, different public facility questions, and this would be just one other that they would need to deal with. I think they would need some assistance from the school districts in preparing those plans.
Another question? Mm-hmm. In periodic review you're talking about, how about major land decisions, changes of zones, potential influx of dwellings, multifamily, would that also be in part of the spirit of what you anticipate them to do?
Yes, it would, Representative Repine. I think one of the draft recommendations is that plan amendments need to be coordinated with school districts, so there needs to be some communication on those.
Thank you.
Okay, Catherine, down here, I guess two would only be if one is if you decide to remove 3301, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, anyone want to ask questions? Senator Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, if I understand your concern, it is that the bill as it is drafted isn't clear that the intent of the amendments was to include schools as public facilities in planning and in the determination of whether or not a moratorium on construction is justified. It doesn't say that clearly enough. Is that what I'm hearing?
Chair Parkinson, Senator Smith, our problem is that it seems to say several different things about how schools relate to moratoria. And you probably, there's probably several different possible interpretations and would have to be sorted out through some sort of litigation.
Is to be specific, so you mentioned three places where schools are, or public facilities are addressed. And one is on page one, I assume you mean lines 14 and 15, where they are defined.
Yes. That's one of the definitions.
One of the definitions. Are schools part of the definition in 197.712?
Catherine says she can help.
In your packet, in your folders, I have enclosed a copy of 197.712. And in looking at that, subsection E deals with that area, and schools are not mentioned, Senator Smith.
Okay.
Yeah. Senator, it's not just looking at one definition. It's the definitions are not the same, but they're referring to the same body of law. Mm-hmm. And then when you start piecing these together, you know, I can come up with one reading, Greg could come up with one, and I've talked with different lobbyists who have each come up with their own reading. And when we're faced with that, I think we're faced with a problem.
So what you're asking us to do is to determine whether or not policy issue of including schools, or lack of schools, I guess, is really what we're talking about, as a justifiable criteria for declaring a moratorium Is that our policy decision? And if it is, then you need to go back and fix it.
I would rather, no way do I want to draft that here. I think I need to sit down with a couple of people, and as we come up with language, have somebody else do a devil's advocate on it until we get it just right, and then we can bring it back to you tomorrow or whenever. But from talking with the different lobbyists, I really don't know what was intended in this bill.
Sue, question, is it your opinion that schools can't be put into this bill unless they are subject to the moratorium?
Chair Parkinson, that is correct. This bill can deal with nothing but things that flow from a moratoria. So if you said schools are not going to be subject to the moratoria, but we want to direct LCDC to do some planning in that issue, I would be advising you, as I advised them this morning, that that would be outside the relating clause.
So that would be the decision. The first decision we'd have to make would be that schools could declare a moratorium, right?
That's right.
Okay. Senator Smith?
I don't think that was, at least that's not what my understanding was of what we were doing. I thought that the school districts would not declare a moratorium. The local government responsible for land use action in that area, city or county, would consider the lack of adequate educational facilities in the area as part of their decision in declaring a moratorium, not that school districts would decide.
Chair Parkinson, Senator Smith, I've heard that view. I've also heard other views, and looking at the language of the bill, I'm not sure. There's language in here that clearly says no city, county, or special district may adopt a moratoria. If you look at the definition of special district, it includes schools. There's an implication that the school district can adopt a moratoria. I'm not sure if we look at more pieces of the statute that would hold up, but we do have a problem with that as well. So you need to determine, do you want the moratoria to apply to schools? And if so, who should adopt it? You might have two questions there.
Representative Woody.
Well, she just kind of said what I was going to say. We have to make a decision whether we want to include schools in any kind of a moratorium that is declared, and then we have to determine who has a responsibility for declaring it. And I guess the problem has been, up to this point, that there's been situations, and might as well say where, Beaverton, where there's been development, and the school district hasn't decided that they would be a part of the process. So are we going to force the school district to be a part of the process? And is the process that the school district is a part of a determination of whether or not schools should be, are important in this particular development? And then who determines if that's the case or not, and if there is a moratorium as a result of whatever decision's made? I don't, you know, I mean, here, we heard testimony and also talked out in the hall when we were hearing this bill, and it related to that situation in Beaverton where the school district and the city weren't able to get together. And that's where the tail that wagged the dog on this, as far as our committee was concerned. And I don't know what happened in the Senate, but that's what happened. And I guess, so we have to make two decisions then. Are we going to include schools, and who's going to be the one that determines the process?
Let me ask one more question of Sue. Or Greg, I don't care who. Say a water district, if they declare a moratorium, they would enforce that just by not hooking up, right? Is that the way that works? How does it work? A water district, right now they can declare a moratorium, it says on page 2. Water district. May adopt a moratorium on construction or land development. How do they do that? How does it work?
Representative Parkinson, one thing I can suggest, the actual moratoria is considered a local government issue in our office, and I can ask our local government attorney to come in because I have never dealt with this area. Although we do have some local government folks in the back who might be chomping at the bit to answer the question, I'm not sure. Although Burton Wiest isn't here, your special district person.
Senator Springer?
Well, tell me again how you think the commission is going to approach this.
Chair Parkinson, Senator Springer, I think the commission is going to approach it, you know, from a land use planning perspective and a coordination perspective to make sure that school districts and local governments are talking to each other, that they are they're talking the same language when they're developing long-term public facility plans and long-term comprehensive plans, and that decisions that are made, if it's a major plan amendment, is also coordinated with school districts, so that we don't find ourselves in a position of suddenly realizing that we don't have school capacity for some of these for development that's approved under the comprehensive plan.
Hey, Representative Refine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Great. Is this not actually 3303? Would be the spirit of what the rules is. This is basically addresses the role that the schools would play in the planning process. 3301.
Representative Repine, I think the bill that would require planning of school districts and local governments along these lines is very similar to the kind of approach the commission would take.
Senator Smith.
It was my experience on city council that there was often testimony in comprehensive plan changes, subdivision approvals, from residents, existing residents in the area who said, in my district, which is overcrowded, we don't have capacity for the kids that are going to come in as a result of this. The local jurisdiction consistently said they did not have statutory authority to consider schools and the current capacity of schools in making land use decisions. Does the commission believe that it has the authority through rulemaking to allow local governments to consider the capacity of existing schools and the facility plans for schools in deciding land use issues?
Chair Parkinson, Senator Smith, I think that's the spirit of the commission interest in this, is to make sure that schools are considered in local comprehensive planning and local decision making.
Do you feel that the commission currently has statutory authority to do that?
Yes.
Okay, I still don't know how the moratorium's imposed, and I certainly don't know how a school moratorium would be adopted. Does anyone out there have a burning desire to answer this question? Someone that knows just how how a city adopts a moratorium?
I am Fred Van Atta, appearing before you on behalf of the Oregon State Home Builders Association. I can speak to our experience with moratoria imposed by local governments, that is, they order the building department to issue no permits. And I think that's the way a special district would operate, too. The board that regulates the district would get together and say, thou shall not allow any hookups to be issued.
How would a school moratorium be enforced?
If a...
Take any more kids?
Yeah. I'm a little confused here, I guess. I don't think that the Senate intended to say the school should not take any more kids.
We shouldn't build any more schools.
I think the question is, I think the problem that we sought to address was the situation that was described in Beaverton, where the schools literally feel that they have exceeded their capacity and that they've asked the local district that grants the permits to take that into consideration before they start packing more kids in the school district jurisdiction. I mean, maybe it's kind of the other side of the question, but... And So I think that's the question that the Senate sought to address in this amendment, which seemed fair since we were talking about, obviously, moratoria, and clearly one of the vital services we felt that would affect the carrying capacity of any local jurisdiction, whether it would be, you know, are the schools capable of handling the population? Just like, are the roads capable of handling the population, or is the sewer system capable, or the water system, or the fire district, or what have you? And we may have not very artfully expressed that in the language that we chose, and the language that was suggested, but I think that was our concern.
Yeah. You were after a planning, okay, but Senator Springer, now, as Sue has told us, we can't put the school issue in this bill unless they can cause the moratorium to be effective, yes?
That's correct.
Is that correct, Sue?
Yes. If you'll give me a moment, I would like to confer with Mr. Barkowski.
Okay, but
yes, as far as the relating clause goes, your relating clause is relating to moratoria. You can't take that relating clause and branch out into general land use planning issues under that relating clause. If we can find some way that we bootstrap it into moratoria, then you can put all the planning for schools and you want in there.
Mr. Chair, I believe that our intent, I'm glad to hear that LCDC and the Commission believe that they can require planning without statutory language. That wasn't the main thrust, of, in my opinion, of the Senate's amendments, but instead were to allow schools to be considered as a factor when a local jurisdiction is determining whether or not a moratorium should be placed on development within their jurisdiction. That was the main thrust of the amendments. If the Commission can include the planning for schools in facilities plans without statutory authority, new statutory authority, then I'm comfortable with that. As I said, I think our main intent was to require local governments to consider the current and projected capacity of schools within their jurisdiction in determining whether or not a moratorium is appropriate.
Catherine, someone had some amendments, didn't they? Ready? We have some amendments. Let me pass them out and look at them.
Well, maybe while she's doing that, I can ask Wolf. When we say what a local jurisdiction has to do before they establish a moratoria, could we not, if we do not now require this, require that they, in addition to other factors, that they look at the capacity or consult with the school district, or require that as a triggering mechanism to go one step further?
Senator Springer, some of the recommendations that have been made, and these are very preliminary, still draft, by the committee that's been working on this, indicate that school districts should be involved in all city and county comprehensive land use planning, and school district officials should be appointed to city and county planning committees. I'll just read some of these as examples of the kind of work that's being recommended. That cities and counties should notify districts of any decisions to amend comprehensive plans. School districts should participate in the periodic review of city and county comprehensive plans to help determine the need for location for new schools. That at the time of periodic review, cities and county school districts should use population and employment information to develop enrollment projections and identify facility and site needs. That cities, counties, and school districts should agree on the use of a common set of projections. That cities and counties should allocate projected population growth to areas within jurisdiction to help school districts identify facility needs. The list goes on here. I mean, that might give you just some flavor for the kinds of planning approaches that are being contemplated.
Sue, are you ready to help us with anything? You and Joe?
Representative Parkinson, members of the committee. My name is Joe Barkowski. I'm with the Office of Legislative Counsel. And as I understand it, the question is how special districts, including water districts, would declare a moratorium on construction. I would think that if they have the authority to declare a moratorium, and that would have to be found in the either in their principal act or in some other statute, the governing body of the district would have to declare the moratorium by ordinance or resolution.
A water district?
That's correct.
And how would they enforce that? Just not hook up the water or stop the construction permit? Does the water district have the authority to stop a construction permit?
I don't think they have. Without looking through Chapter 264, I wouldn't be able to answer that definitely. I don't think they would. I think they would have to work through the connections to the water system.
The water district can pass ordinances?
Yes, they have the authority to adopt.
The school district can't pass ordinances.
They can adopt, once again, you're out of my, I'm not that familiar with the legislative authority of school districts. They can adopt certainly regulations for the conduct of the school system. I'm not at all sure how a school district would enforce a moratorium on construction.
The chair needs help. Other questions? Senator Smith?
My understanding, tell me if this is correct. My understanding is that currently a city or a county or a water district, although I don't believe that's ever happened, may have a district like that, could determine that the facilities necessary to sustain new growth are not available. And so they declare a moratoria. In the case of a city, they don't issue building permits for new development over perhaps a certain size or whatever. If it's a water district, they don't allow new customers to hook onto their line. Is that basically the way it works? And if we included schools in the language as a facility that must have adequate capacity to sustain the growth, then I assume the same thing would still occur. If the city determined that there were not enough schools to handle the subdivision that's being proposed, then they would develop or declare a moratoria and not issue building permits. That's my understanding of our intent in our amendments, is that how
I believe that's
that be
how
done?
That's how cities enforce moratoria under current law.
Thank you.
Representative Reason,
I don't know which one to get to answer this, but if let's assume that we have a subdivision that's going to be considered and has 100 houses in it, and so all of a sudden this what we're talking about is in place, and the school district invokes or asks for a moratorium. I'm assuming that they're still going to register children who exist in the status quo system. So if every house that was a retiree that didn't have children sold, and all of a sudden they had four children, the moratorium effect, the end result of the moratorium that's been placed against the development of 100 homes, has had little effect on the population boom in the district. There's nothing. It's not like they're saying we're not taking any students. They're just saying, because of this potential threat of a subdivision, we enact a moratorium against that subdivision, but clearly are going to let everybody else in that community that's outside of that moratorium bring as many kids to the school district, and the population goes up, and they effectively have not done what the intent of moratorium is, to stop the growth. Is that not correct?
Representative Parkinson, Representative Friedheim. I understand the scenario you're outlining. You can, all we can do is give you a way to stop the building, not,
but again,
the stopping of moving the children into the district.
The spirit of stopping the building is for the purpose of not letting more children enter into the school district. But in, on the other side of that, the rest of the community is still part of the school district, which can dump kids in that thing until they're hanging from the rafters. And that moratorium has no effect on the rest of the community.
Correct.
Senator Smith?
I think that the purpose of the moratorium isn't really to stop development, but to give the jurisdiction a breathing space. I think in the law they only get 6 months under a moratorium, and then they can extend it for 6 months. So it's to allow them an opportunity, a window, where they can catch up so that they can provide for the facilities that are necessary for the growth. It doesn't stop growth. It just gives them a second to try to build the infrastructure necessary to sustain the growth.
Mr. Chairman,
but
that case can exist even if another subdivision is never built. If we never build another house in this community of Salem, the potential threat of children in growing in numbers would still be placed upon the burden of the school district, and this moratorium would have no effect on that.
I agree with that completely, and I would envision this happening, given the political pressure on local governments who breathe the word moratoria, I would have...